Apologies, everybody else. It's worth it, though. It was worth it.
That we were invited to lead a church plant in Sheffield City Centre. After 23 and a half years of being involved with this, this is now actually our last evening service tonight. And so there isn't one next week. We all gather together in the morning. And so we've got that tension in our hearts. And we've shared ministry together, shared life together, some of you much shorter than others. It's gone on quite a while. We've walked together, you know, James and Louise and Steve and Sue there. And it's good to see Kenny back from Christchurch Walkley. We walked together for a while, you disappeared, and now you've popped back. Good to see you. So as of Monday, the 1st of December, we go our separate ways. So it's filled with tension, filled with hope as well, and it is emotional. We are each of us on a stretch of road where the next turn is not fully known. And I shared with you where things are with me and Tanya. And you don't know what is going to happen in this next week. You're pretty sure in your diary there's work and there might be going to school and uni and various things that you need to be doing. But quite frankly, between now and then, you don't actually know and guarantee what may or may not happen. All of us are on a stretch of road when we do not see fully how things are going to work out. We are all of us literally going without knowing or laying the path, laying the track as we go. And the book of Hebrews speaks into that kind of journey. The writer presumes we don't see the full course, and yet he still says, run. It's time to run, even though you don't actually know completely where you are going. To run by faith and not by sight. But there's a crucial thing. Although you don't know where you're going, you're running with the one who does know. The key thing in Hebrews 12, 1-3, is three words, looking to Jesus. And that's what we are engaging with this evening. But before the writer calls us to run, looking to Jesus, he draws our eyes to the people in the stands around us. It is a race. There is a run going on. But he calls us to look around us. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we are Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab and many, many more, they lived by faith. They followed God into the unknown. They walked through hardship. They trusted God's promises, even when they could not see how it was all going to work out. They weren't perfect people. Far from it. Many of them stumbled and doubted and failed. And they were, as Ash was sharing us last week, they were all sinful people who needed to turn to the Lord for forgiveness. The common thread with them all, though, is that they were faithful. They trusted God. And now the writer says, those people surround you. They surround us, not as spectators watching you run, but as witnesses to the faithfulness of God. That's what they're shouting and calling to you and to me. Their lives testify God is worth trusting. You must trust him. You can trust him. The race is worth running. The end is worth it. It's as if we're entering the stadium for our part of the race, and the stands are full, not just of strangers, but of those who know us. As it were, they're part of our family from generation to generation over hundreds of years. They've run before us and they're saying to us, we've run it, we faced hardship, we didn't always know where the road was leading, we kept going and God was faithful all along. And as we shared just a moment ago, more personally still, we have our own cloud of witnesses, not a little black cloud floating over our heads, but a cloud of witnesses in our own lives, people who've helped us to see Jesus more clearly, and who may well carry on doing that in your heart and your life. Parents, grandparents, friends, mentors. Maybe it might even be a child, and you've grown up, and a child has said something, and it's pointed you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of them. Let their memory fuel your perseverance. So as we prepare to run, we do so with encouragement, encouragement from the past, voices echoing around us. We are not the first to go without knowing. We're not alone. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And then he launches into three things, one on each verse. And the first one is run in verse 1. Therefore, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The invitation is to run the race. So this book in the Bible assumes that the Christian life is a race. It's not a dawdle. It's not a leisurely stroll around the park. It's not a scenic walk. It's not a lounge in the garden. It's not a meandering about. It's a race that demands discipline and pace and perseverance. The idea is not that we choose the race. It's not that we design the course. God set the race. He designed the course. And he's saying, run it. But there are hindrances and weights of sin, as it says there in verse 1. We can't run well with burdens and entanglements. So he says, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So lay aside every weight. That's basically, he's talking about non-essentials, things you don't need on this race, things that slow you down. They might be good things, but they become heavy and they're unnecessary and they are, quite frankly, a distraction. Stay focused. Sin which clings so closely, it means habitual, subtle sin that just keeps dogging our steps. The things about which we say, just this once, or the thing that we hide, or hide in the shadow of our hearts and our lives somewhere. Now picture this, you know, a long-distance runner, even a shorter-distance runner, trying to run with a heavy backpack strapped on. That was just a useless thing to be doing. Or an athlete with a stone in their shoe, limping along. Hebrews says, drop the extra weight, lay aside what's dragging you down, confess it, like we did earlier on. Forsake it, don't let it cling to you, and don't you cling on to it. And, one of the programs that Tanya and I like watching is that Race Across the World. There's one at the moment with celebrities, and we'd love watching programs like that. Folks going on a journey together. It's often about how a mum and a son or a couple of siblings mend a relationship on the journey as they go. But there's regularly a point where they get to each checkpoint where they realise they've arrived on the bus pretty well at the same time as some other team. And they're getting the information as to where the next checkpoint is. And they realize, hang on, we're actually going to have to run now if we're going to get there first. So there they are running with their great backpack on. And there'll be moments where they've thrown the backpack off into some hedge somewhere and just sprint it as fast as they can to get. And that's what this is saying. Lose the weight. Drop it. Stick with the Lord and his calling upon you. Which means that, for tonight, going back to what Steve led us in earlier a moment, confessing our sin, that's such an important thing to do. So, rehearse how we might do that again in the coming week, to pause and to pray, to ask ourselves, what is the weight that I'm carrying? Is it my pride? Is it things that I'm unnecessarily worried about? Am I overcommitted? Am I in some comfort zone that I'm clinging to? Now let it go. What sin is clinging? Is there a secret habit? I mean, your conscience, your heart, by the Spirit of God, might be going to something right now as I ask the question. A recurring temptation. Bring it into the light before Jesus. Some of those things, they shame us, don't they? And we're fearful. But Jesus covers our shame. Jesus welcomes us back. Jesus does not respond with a rebuke or anger as we come to him. It's an amazing story in John's Gospel of a woman who is caught in adultery, and there are a group of men wanting to throw stones at her there and then. And Jesus doesn't engage with that. He says, whoever's the sinless amongst us, the least, do you throw the first stone? And he's drawing in the sand. And none of them at that point have they got the guts or the courage. And they all disappear. And there's this precious moment where it's just Jesus and her left. And he says to her, I don't judge you. And it's after that he says, go and sin no more. It's compassion and kindness and welcome first. Not stop sinning and then I'll love you. I forgive you. Go and sin no more. That's the kind of Jesus that Jesus is. What is it that's holding you back? Bring it to him. He'll forgive. And he'll give you the strength to keep walking with him into the future. Bring it to the light before the Lord. Repent and ask for his grace, and he'll give it to you. Perhaps you're thinking that running is not your strength. Well, that's okay. The invitation is not first run. It's first come and be freed from what weighs you down and find the one who gives you the strength to run. The Christian faith begins with Jesus rescuing us from all of our sins. And he's the one who removes the weight. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then we're free to run. We come to him first. So that's it. That's the first thing, to run. Secondly, verse 2, the gaze. Looking to Jesus. That's what verse 2 says. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Here's the heart of these verses. It's looking to Jesus. That's our heart posture. That's our attitude that God calls us to have, to look to Jesus. The rest of verse 2 kind of like unpacks what that gaze at Jesus, what that looking to Jesus means. First of all, it's a continuous gaze. We keep looking at him. It's present continuous looking to Jesus, not once, but all the time. We don't glance and then forget. During the run, we keep our eyes fixed. Our spiritual eyes mustn't wander downwards or inwards and say, oh, what an idiot I am, I'm mucked up again, or sideways, I'm not doing as well as them, or backwards and go, oh, I've got regret, and that's dragging me bound. And looking forward, I'm so anxious and worried about what's ahead of me. Looking up to Jesus. That gaze there, present continuous, looking to Jesus. In practice, it means that our hearts habitually are orientated towards him, which is why student ministry after Sundays and praying and talking with each other, why discipleship group and fellowship, meeting with others, and that's what, you know, earlier on in this letter in chapter 10, verse 24, 25, it says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but get together and stir one another up. And all the more as you see the day approaching, as that day is coming, stick together. Help each other, remind each other, as we were talking about earlier on in our service, those people who've helped us to keep looking to Jesus. So yeah, looking to him. And who is the one that we look to? Well, the verse goes on and talks about him being the founder and the perfecter of our faith. The founder, that is, he's the pioneer, the originator. Jesus is the one who initiates our faith. He blazed the trail, the first to enter the path of perfect faith and obedience to God, the first to break through sin's barrier, the first to break through death's barrier. He's the one who leads the way. He's the one we look to. He's the perfecter, that is, the completer. Jesus is the one who brings our faith to maturity. He doesn't just start us off, he finishes. He's the one who sustains us, refines and completes what God has started. So the gaze isn't static. We look to the one who is ahead of us, the pioneer. We also look to the one who's with us. He's accompanying us. He's the one who's the perfecter of our faith. He is both our path setter and the one who helped us to get us to that finishing moment. He's our path finisher. How did Jesus run? The next thing about him, Well, we're told, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Three things about the one that we're looking to. He was the one who for the joy set before him endured suffering. Jesus went through suffering on the cross, desperate agony, but he looked forward to redeeming you. He looked forward to, you know, exalting his Father by doing his Father's will. He lived by future hope in his present pain. And we're encouraged to do the same. When life is hard, keep looking to Jesus, who will lead us through our struggles and our pains. The famous Psalm 23, talks about the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. A shadow is something you pass through into the light again. That's what it's saying here. Look to him. You might go through dark times, but he will lead you into the light. The next, he's the one who endured the cross, despising the shame. The cross was not just suffering. It was a scandal. It was really deeply shameful. It was public disgrace. And it says, Jesus despised that shame. He held his gaze on the goal ahead and he endured. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. That means he won. The victory is his. The victory is secure. He's ascended. He reigns in heaven. So our gaze is on the one who empathizes with us, and he is with us now to help us in our struggles. But he's also the triumphant one, the one who guarantees that we will get there. And let me just illustrate that just from my own experience, something that I won't ever be able to forget because it was pretty brutal at the time. There are other times and seasons in life where there's real strain and struggle, and just keeping eyes on Jesus is just what, you know, the experience of Tanya and I have lived through. It's keeping our eyes on him that's kept us through. But I won't ever forget running my first marathon. I was 16. And at mile 16, my legs were screaming, and it really was agony. And it was, and I mean, I'll tell you why it was such agony, as I didn't done any training for it. All right? 800 meters was my race back in the day, and I was okay at that. But 26 miles? Mm-mm. I mean, at mile 16, I was thinking, you're an idiot. You got 10 miles to go. And if I had thought about how much I was hurting, if I'd entertained that thought for any moment longer than it being in my head, seriously, I would have just stopped and given up. It was my own choice to do it. What kept me going? Well, seriously, I was thinking of my mum and dad. I think they'd think this is great. And they did. They were so pleased when they heard what I'd done. And sort of said, a bit of courage and tenacity, kept going. Good on you. That's what kept me going. Was family saying, good on you. Well done. And that's what we're talking about here, is our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, and who Jesus, for the joy set before him, the pleasure of his Father, and we walk through it with the same kind of heart attitude, looking to the Lord God and saying, we'll live through this because we know we can trust him. We'll do it for his honor, and we'll exalt his name. So we keep looking to Jesus in times of exhaustion, when we're tempted, when we're despairing. Fix your eyes on him. Remind yourself who he is. Rehearse the gospel. Jesus began. He will perfect things. He has overcome. Let that fuel your perseverance. Perhaps you've never, well, I don't know where you are spiritually this evening. Perhaps you've never fixed your eyes or your gaze on Jesus. You've never actually started the race. You've never actually come to that point yet to put your faith in Jesus yourself. You know of him. You've got friends who've told you about him. But you've not quite said, Jesus, I'm yours. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to thank you for dying for my sin. I want to say today is a great day for you, this evening, even, to look to Jesus for the first time. To turn away from rebellion against him. To turn away and to him and know that he loves and forgives. That he gave his life for you. that he set a course for you to run with him. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to live. It's a freeing way to live. It won't be a bed of roses. There'll be times of trouble and difficulty, and he will help you through. And he wants you to start tonight. If that's you, come and talk to me at the end. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to be with you and pray with you as Jesus, you know, fires the gun off and you start the race. Come to him, find his forgiveness, and start living and walking with him through life. The third thing is verse 3 there, to consider. Consider him who endured, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The writer now calls us to consider. That is to meditate, to reflect upon, and to contemplate Jesus' suffering, so that we don't give up. To consider, that's a deeper, think about it deeply, to think about it carefully, to grasp the meaning of it. And some of us in the room have been a Christian, been Christians for a long time. And I think it's the same to us who've been walking with Jesus for a long time. Do not let Jesus' suffering be a cliche. Don't let that happen. Consider it in depth, the hostility, the mockery, the shame, the fierce opposition. See, not only his agony, but his resolute love. He did it for you. The purpose and endurance of his endurance. Why did consider him? Well, it's so that we don't grow weary or faint-hearted. The Christian life isn't guaranteed smoothness. There is weariness. There are moments when our heart thinks, I can't go on. I mean, seasons where Tanya and I have found our heart saying, Lord, we know you are our shepherd, but right now it doesn't feel like you are. And you might think that's doubt, but actually I think that's where faith is being worked out. You're wrestling with it, struggling with it. I cannot let go that the Lord is my shepherd, but right now I really feel that you might have let go. But I trust you haven't. And moments come like that. And it's the memory of Jesus, his suffering, his steadfastness, his victory. That's the antidote that says, no, you can keep trusting the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. He's done that for you. He's done that for me. So in facing discouragement, let's re-see the cross that rekindles our courage. The one who endured such hostility now calls us not to shrink back, to keep on, to press on. When we feel weak, discouraged, tempted to quit, let's consider him, let's meditate upon him, and let us be encouraged by him. I've got to say this as well. I mean, you might be thinking, well, I don't know, I can't quite trust that Jesus does understand my personal suffering. And the gospel of Jesus tells you different. He does. He endured hostility, rejection, and shame. He knows. He empathizes. And he loves you. So let me conclude. Summary of Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Number 1, run, verse 1. Engage in the race and drop the burdens. 2, gaze at Jesus. Verse 2, keep your eyes on him, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And number 3, consider. Meditate on Jesus' suffering so as not to faint. And these three things, they perform a progression. We run, we fix our gaze, we draw encouragement from Jesus. And in the context of this series, Going Without Knowing, Hebrews 11 and 12, we may not see the end clearly, but we run in faith, keeping our eyes on him. And let's remember, we're not alone. The course is set before us, but the stands are full. There's people right down through history. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the saints of Hebrews 11, countless others, the people that we talked about and shouted out about earlier on, known and unknown. They urge us onwards. They faced uncertainty. They've walked through valleys. They've lived and some have died that we know. And they've died by faith. And they know that we know their lives speak to us. Keep going. God is faithful. So think again, that person you were talking about earlier on, friend, Sunday school teacher, mentor, parent, grandparent, the person who loved Jesus and ran their race and passed the baton to you. It's not a solo sprint here. It's a relay. It's across spiritual generations. Wonderful this morning, Steve baptized Luna, who's 8, and James and Leo, 2 little 4-year-old twins. And it was absolutely fantastic to be here and witness these little people being baptized. And we're reminded today in our church family that the race is still being run and new runners are joining. And it's absolutely wonderful and it's brilliant. So keep looking to Jesus. Keep trusting him and keep running with him. Let me lead us in a prayer. And after I've prayed, Steve's going to come and lead us in some other prayers. Sovereign God, maker and sustainer, we thank you that in Christ you have given us a race to run, a gaze to keep, and the grace to endure. Forgive us for the weights we have carried, for the sins we've clung to, for the times we've looked inward instead of upward. Help us through the Bible and by your Spirit to set our eyes on Jesus, to consider him in adversity and to persevere until the end. And Lord, for those here tonight who don't yet know you, draw them by your love to trust in the Lord Jesus, that tonight they may join this race as your children. And Lord, bless those baptized this morning, Luna, James and Leo. And bless our church, Lord, in this coming season of transition and change. May we keep looking to you. We ask it in your name. Amen.